So I've got something exciting to share. My book, What Are You Thirsty For? Rethinking Alcohol and the Life You Want, is now available for pre-order. It's about rethinking your drinking, not because you necessarily have to, but because deep down you know there's more waiting on the other side. It's about creating space for clarity, for calm, and the version of you that doesn't need alcohol to cope. So if you're looking for a refreshing take on alcohol identity and desire, just tap the link in the show notes and pre-order. Right, let's get on with the episode. Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink podcast with me, your host, Anna Donaghy. You're tuning into a Q&A episode where I answer the questions asked by podcast listeners or my coaching clients. We're going to be covering a wide range of topics relevant to you if you're rethinking and reshaping your relationship with alcohol. Everything from how to face common challenges, how to overcome personal doubts, how to manage the inevitable emotions, and so much more. Thank you for engaging and asking these questions, and for showing up to hear my thoughts and perspectives. So hello and welcome back to the Big Drink Rethink podcast. Today is a Q&A episode and I'm responding to a listener's question that I absolutely love because we haven't really talked about it on this show before. And I'm going to paraphrase, but it goes something like this. I've been alcohol free for a few months now. It's going well, but honestly, it's beginning to feel a bit flat. I don't feel like I need alcohol anymore, but I also don't feel that excited either. How do I stay motivated long term? So I've written the title here for the podcast as being, how do I stay motivated when alcohol free becomes normal? And I think that's it, really. It's that moment when you've maybe feel like you've climbed the mountain or at least a very big hill, and then suddenly you realize there's no marching band waiting at the top, no fireworks, no confetti cannon, no one shouting, "You've made it." It's just life. You know, life is what's waiting for you at the top. And that's where I want to focus today. Not the beginning of the journey. We've talked a lot on this podcast about the beginning of the journey. I want to talk about the middle bit. So not the drama at the beginning, but what can feel like a bit of a drift in the middle. And if like this chap who sent me this email, if you're feeling a little uninspired, a little meh, a few months into your alcohol-free life, there's nothing wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It actually means that things are working, because those early days, which are full of energy and momentum, when you're experimenting and you're getting loads of feedback and you're waking up clearer, your body's giving you loads of feedback, your skin looks good, people are noticing the glow, and you feel like you've cracked some kind of secret code, and then life just levels out, not in a bad way, but just a normal way. And I guess, you know, routines and habits and the everyday kick in. And it's like this in lots of areas of life. When you think about it, you have an original sort of initial honeymoon phase, and then it dips. So, you know, you can start a new job and those first few months feel really exciting until they're not. Or you can move to a new house and the new sort of area, the new neighborhood feels really interesting until you've walked the streets 100 times and then they're not. Or you can fall in love and, you know, it can all be sort of rainbows and roses, and then suddenly, you know, it's not, and you just work out that they don't know how to load the dishwasher and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean the dip is over. It just means you've moved past the newness and now it's about building something. And that's the reframe that I want to kind of offer up early on in this conversation. It's not a sign that your motivation has gone, but you are at a crossroads. And there's a really, really powerful question waiting here at the crossroads for you. And that is, what do I want this alcohol-free life to actually make possible for me? Because the thing is, not drinking is a gateway. It is not a destination. I'm going to say that again. Not drinking is a gateway, not a destination. It frees up energy, time, clarity, emotional bandwidth, and you get to decide how to spend that. So instead of not, you know, drinking and just not drinking, maybe now it's time to ask, what do I want to feel more of? What part of me has been waiting to emerge now that I'm no longer numbing? What creative ideas have I been shelving until I felt better, in inverted commas? And what relationships or dreams do I want to reinvest in now that I have space? Sometimes we think that motivation comes from adrenaline, but it doesn't, not in the long run. Not in the long run, no way. Motivation comes from meaning. And this sort of what can feel like a flat middle, it's not the sort of the end of the road, it's the foundation. And now that you're not just avoiding something, it means that you can become something. It means you can become someone. And that, even if it feels a little bit quiet and initially less exciting, is incredibly powerful. So let's just think about that for a moment, the meaning, okay? One of the biggest mindset shifts that happens a few months into being alcohol-free is this. In the beginning, it all feels about subtraction, okay? And what I mean by that is it's all about removing something, alcohol. And for a while, that feels like the main event. Well, it is. It is the main event. Trying to remove alcohol from your life. But then something really interesting happens. And you realize that removing the thing that was holding you back isn't the same as moving forward. It's like clearing a plot of land, all right? You've pulled up all the crap, the weeds and the bits you don't want. You've knocked down the old shed or whatever was there in the first place, and now you've got space. But then what? You can just stand there and admire the empty patch, the empty plot. But that's not going to keep you excited for very, very long. The question that comes is, what am I going to plant here? What am I going to build? And that's the moment that many people find themselves in around the sort of 3 to 6 month mark. The thing that you've wanted to avoid is now gone. The habits have started to shift. You're sleeping, you're feeling, you're processing. But your brain, which has been very busy rewiring and sort of repairing, now is quietly asking, okay, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do with all this energy then? And that's where motivation can feel like it's dipping, but it's not. It's just changing shape. You're no longer fueled by urgency or discomfort, but you're now being invited to be fueled by intention. So I would say to you this, not as a trick question, but as a kind of future building one. What would you do with your energy, your presence, your clarity, if alcohol was completely irrelevant, not in your past, not in your social life, not in your identity, just irrelevant? If you were no longer being held back, what would you lean into? Is there a version of you who's been waiting for space to be creative and playful and brave? Is there something you've always wanted to try but talked yourself out of when drinking sort of dulled your self-belief? Is there a conversation you now feel strong enough to have because you're not foggy or avoiding? And is there a part of you that actually wants to be seen in a whole new light? Because this is where we move from the work of quitting to the joy of creating. And that's the real invitation in the flat middle. Not to push harder, but to build deeper. Because freedom from alcohol is powerful. There's no doubt about that. But freedom to live, to grow, to show up, to evolve, that's even more powerful. And that's what's going to keep us going. One of the best ways to reignite motivation, especially when it starts to feel like the novelty's worn off, is to stop measuring your life in terms of what you've stopped doing and start asking what you're now free to begin. Okay, that doesn't mean you stop tracking the days that you've alcohol-free. But at some point, that can't continue, or I would suggest it shouldn't continue to be the metric, right? It's about starting to ask, how do I measure success going forward? It's the difference between, I see it, is the difference between staring at a closed door and realizing that you're now holding the keys to 100 new ones. Because alcohol-free life isn't just a no to alcohol, it's a massive open-ended yes to energy and presence and possibility. So instead of asking how long can I go without alcohol, you know, try asking what do I want to feel more of? What kind of person am I becoming? Where do I want this clarity to take me? It's as if you've switched the lights back on and the question is, what do you want to see? I love an analogy. People sometimes laugh at my love of analogies, but I tend to think of it like this. You've been running around with a heavy backpack for years, one that you probably didn't even realize was weighing you down as much as it was. And now you've dropped it. You've taken it off. You're lighter. You're moving differently. You're seeing things that you missed before. So what do you do with that? Well, you can sit and celebrate, sit still. That's valid. But eventually there's often the pull, you know, to stretch, to explore, or even play. Maybe that means training for something. Maybe it means learning something new, or simply getting curious again. What am I interested in? What do I used to be interested in? Start setting goals that have nothing to do with drinking, but brilliantly, in your mind, you know damn well you wouldn't be doing them if you were still a drinker. That's the beauty of it. So the not drinking becomes the enabler and the facilitator. Now, I've had clients rediscover old passions. One of them started writing poetry in the morning, not to publish it, but just to sort of find her voice again. Another took up paddleboarding, not for fitness, but because being out on the water made her feel really peaceful, more peaceful than she'd felt for years and years and years. And one woman told me that she'd simply started walking every morning. And after a few weeks, she said, you know, it's not even about the exercise anymore. It's about the only time of the day I can actually hear myself think. So maybe the question isn't, how do I stay motivated? Maybe it, you know, genuinely is, what's finally possible now that I'm not pouring all my energy into managing alcohol? Because this isn't about proving anything. It's about discovering what your fully switched on self wants next. And more often than not, that's not just another milestone to chase. It's a sense of meaning. So I do really urge you to ask yourself those kind of questions. But a little heads up, I've got to say this, because, you know, this is also a part of the journey where you can feel a little bit vulnerable, or you can be vulnerable without actually realizing that you are vulnerable, because this is the part where something that I call the romantic return often creeps in. It's quiet, it's subtle, and it's also what I kind of describe as being the charming voice of alcohol. And it can sound like, but you're fine now, you've done the work. Surely you can just have one. And the tricky thing is that voice doesn't show up, as I said, like a villain. It can show up like a friend, and it can show up like logic. But the truth is that voice isn't you evolved. It's the old wiring, okay? It's the old wiring repackaged. It's your brain, clever as it is, testing the sort of the fence and the boundaries that you've built. And if you're not actively connected to your why, it can sound incredibly reasonable. It's a little bit like breaking up with someone toxic, and 6 months later, just as you're beginning to feel solid, they send you a message, hey, what's up? Just wondering how you're doing. Not aggressive, not dramatic, just open-ended enough to pull on the thread of doubt. But you don't need to reply. If you got a message like that from a toxic ex, all your mates would be like going, don't reply, You don't need to reply. You don't need to respond to those messages that alcohol is sending you. You don't need to re-engage because you didn't leave that relationship with alcohol on a whim. You left because it was costing you your peace, your presence, your energy, yourself, and that still holds true. So here's your reminder, spoken with so much respect, okay, because I have so much respect for anyone who's at this stage of the journey. You didn't stop drinking because things were fine. You stopped because alcohol was taking more than it was giving. And what's grown in its absence, your clarity, your confidence, your calm, is far, far too valuable to trade for a fleeting false reward. Temptation might whisper, but your truth is louder, okay? So stay close to it. Stay grounded, stay honest. And when the old thoughts creep in, greet them like a cloud that is passing by. You don't have to follow them. And here's where I just want to bring in some really practical tools, not time-consuming, hard work tools, but sort of powerful little nudges that can gently remind you of how far you've come, remind you that you don't want to follow those old thoughts when they creep back in. And at the same time, they can gently kind of reignite your momentum when things feel like they're going flat. Think of them like kindling, if you like. You don't need a bonfire. You just need a flicker, something to remind you that you're alive and that you are in control and that you are choosing. So first little tool, revisit your day one journal. Okay, if you have been journaling, if you have any written memo or note, or maybe you have to rely on a memory of your day one, if you wrote anything down in those early days, you can cast your mind back, go back to it, not to cringe, but to witness. Feel the difference in your energy. Feel the difference in your voice today to what it was back then and your mindset. That person back on day one, my God, they were brave as hell to start out on this journey. They've come a long way since then. So look back and realize how far you've come. And actually, if you didn't write anything down back then, try casting your mind back now. Maybe write a story, a letter to your former self. Tell her, him, what they have to look forward to. Okay, so revisit your day one and measure backwards on how far you've come. All right. The second thing you can do, and I love this, do a joy inventory. So grab a pen, a paper, and list down 10 things that bring you joy, not the big Instagram-worthy stuff, just the tiny, ordinary pleasures. You know, for me, it would be things like reading in a book and properly closing the book and going to bed instead of falling asleep and never actually finishing a book. A walk when my phone stays in my pocket because I feel just happy and grateful to be out for a walk. The other things that just give me joy is spending time with my family, having conversations with my kids that I'm present for. Just write down those ordinary pleasures and ask yourself, when was the last time I actually did these things? Because when you think about it, you know, when the buzz wears off and you think sobriety is all a bit boring, what you realize is that these things are the new normal. These meaningful things are the new normal. And the last time you did them was probably only a couple of days ago. And that's amazing because you wouldn't have been doing these things had you still been face planting into a bottle of Pinot Grigio of an evening. So, you know, the question there is, again, to sort of say, you know, what do I value? What really gives me joy? How often do I get to do it? Chances are a lot, certainly a lot versus when you were drinking, all right? And remind yourself that those are the little pleasures. Those are the things that can keep you motivated because the loss of those would be devastating. Another thing, another tool is literally this curiosity to try something new. However small, Boredom is not a sign that alcohol-free life isn't working. It's a sign that your routine might need some freshening up. So, you know, try injecting a new recipe into your weekly repertoire, sign up for a class, take a different walking route, keep things fresh. Remember that you have an imagination that you never used when you were drinking. Signals from your body that you'd like to try new things that you were never listening to when you were blocking them with alcohol. So we're not looking for kind of wholesale reinvention here. What we're looking for is just little tiny surprises and new flavor bombs to put into your day, your week. Remember in a way that your nervous system used to crave the unpredictability of alcohol. So now you've got to give it novelty, but on your terms, okay? So keep the novelty coming. Keep the novelty coming and keep things fresh. And then the last thing I would say, you know, my little fourth tool here, would be to talk to someone new who's also on the same journey. And this is, again, where community comes into play. So whether it's a coach or a peer or a member of a community, fresh energy really matters. If you've only ever really been in your own head, the story can get a little stale, right? But hearing how someone else is walking the same path, you know, what's lighting them up, what they're still navigating, can snap you back into why all of this matters. Connection is clarity. So don't wait until you feel lost to connect to new people. Okay, so those tools, these things I've just mentioned, revisiting your day one, doing a joy inventory, trying something new on a regular basis, and talking to someone new on a regular basis. You know, these tools aren't there to fix you. They're only fixing. They're tools there to remind you that you're awake now. You know, that you're choosing, that you're in the driving seat, and that you have far more agency over what the next weeks, months, years look like than you ever once believed you could have. And sometimes you just have to shake the snow globe and watch what rises. And I'm guessing that one of the things that's going to come up for you at this point in the journey is so exciting, right? Once the surface level noise has quietened, this is where a lot of people begin to stumble into something so, so powerful, something really deep. And it's called emotional sobriety, because it's not just about not drinking anymore. It's about learning to be with yourself fully without needing to leave the room. It's the work of sitting with uncomfortable feelings instead of distracting from them. Expressing emotions rather than numbing them. Being present, even when it's messy, inconvenient, or not very Instagrammable. And it's here, you know, in this tender, often unlit place that things get rich. Not always easy, but undeniably rich and real. Because this is where you start building something far more valuable than streaks and milestones or external validation. You start building trust in yourself, not because you feel amazing all the time, which you may well do, and I hope you feel amazing a lot of the time, but because you start believing, I can feel hard things and still be okay. I can hold space for my sadness, my boredom, my rage, and not drown. I can be fully human and still be safe in my own skin. That is emotional sobriety. It's not just I don't drink. It's I don't abandon myself. Do you want another analogy? It's like moving house. In the beginning, you've just cleared out the old place, all the junk, all the kind of paraphernalia. And now you're standing in the hallway of your new home. Boxes everywhere, furniture still to be arranged, and it's just you. No background noise, no constant interruptions, just the quiet kind of sense of who you're becoming. And from that, new questions can begin to rise. such as who am I without this old coping mechanism? What parts of me are finally waking up now that I'm not blurring at the edges? What do I actually believe in now? God, that's a big one. What do I actually believe in now, and how do I want to live it? These are big questions, right? And you don't have to answer them all at once, but the power is in letting them unfold and realizing that, yes, you may have come to a point in your journey where you think the excitement of giving up alcohol may be dipping, but the excitement and the power in letting these explorations unfold is immense. I'll talk about this more on future episodes, but if you want to sort of just begin leaning into this deeper work, here are a few gentle places to start. First of all, I've said this before on this podcast, when feelings arise, name them. Name what you feel, not what you're thinking. That's really important. Not the conscious thoughts that are in your head, but the feelings that are behind them, right? And good tools for this are journaling or voice noting. You know, invariably they involve pausing and asking a profoundly interesting question, actually, which is, where is this in my body? Where am I literally feeling this, and what is this feeling? So label it and pull out an emotions wheel, which labels, oh goodness me, you know, what has scientifically been sort of researched as being the hundreds of emotions that we are capable of feeling as human beings. Really try to get very literate about what those emotions are and articulate what emotion you might be feeling in any given moment. And then allow yourself to stay curious. So you never judge. You never judge the emotion. That's where we run into problems, okay? You might be feeling hatred. You might be feeling remorse. You might be feeling anger. You might be feeling spite. And straight away, there's a really unfortunate sort of trend where we will then judge ourselves for feeling those things. Oh, we shouldn't feel those things. It's terrible to feel those things. Bullshit. If you feel those things, you feel those things. All right? Emotions are just emotions. It's when we start judging them that we run into problems. So note your emotion and then stay curious and compassionate in the discomfort of what that emotion might be. And when something hard comes up, ask yourself, you know, and this could be a craving, it could be a confrontation, it could be a restless night, it could be anything. What am I trying not to feel right now? And then allow yourself to feel it. But how cool a question is that? What am I trying not to feel right now? And then allow yourself to feel it. You don't have to fix it. You don't, certainly don't judge it. I've just said that. You don't judge it. You just witness it. And instead of asking, how do I get rid of this feeling? Ask yourself, what would real comfort look like here? You'd be amazed how often it's something really small, like breathing or movement or words or stillness. And then have that deeper conversation with yourself or with someone else, if you've got someone you can share with, or write a note, a journaling prompt to your future self. Because what you're not doing here is just quitting alcohol, I've said that. You're returning to you, your values, your voice, your emotional fluency, okay? So really, as I say, simple. It's simple steps, hard stuff, but simple steps. Name what you feel, not what you think. Stay curious in the discomfort. Ask yourself, what am I trying not to feel right now? Then allow yourself just to witness it. And instead of asking, how do I get rid of these feelings? You ask, what would real comfort look like right now? And then have a deeper conversation with yourself. Okay, a deeper conversation with yourself, which is full of self-compassion. It's okay to feel these things. It's okay to be the way you are. You don't have to try and run away from anything, okay? There's a lot of work to be done. isn't there, when you think about it from an emotional perspective, long after that last drink has been had. So if things do feel a bit quiet lately, and if there's less thrill, and you're starting to, question what's next, this stage of emotional sobriety is what's next. And whatever you want to be is what's next, okay? You're not slipping, you're deepening. And it's where everything really begins to happen and you start becoming the person you want to be and doing the things you want to do and creating that life that a few months ago you never thought would be possible and is only possible because of how bloody brilliant you are, okay? Ah, cool. Look, thank you to the listener who sent in that question. It was such a vital reminder that the journey doesn't end after 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months, 12 months, It's where it actually really begins. So I bashed out a few lines of response on an email, but I thought, Anna, do an episode on it. There's loads of people out there who are going to be asking the same question. So look, if anything has landed with you today, take it as an invitation to pause and reconnect with your why. Not the fear-based one, the freedom-based one. Remember, you're not just avoiding alcohol anymore. You're starting the incredibly exciting business of actually creating a life where it's no longer needed. And that is no small thing. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back next week. Take care. I hope you found these perspectives helpful. If you have a question that you'd like me to cover in one of these Q&A episodes, then please email it to coachingquestions@thebigdrinkrethink.com.